What's up, everybody?
Glad to be here.
This is the best thing I've done all week.
Thanks for having us.
Glad to be here.
Are you ready for the best podcast ever?
After 4 years of investment and many days of begging, here I am on the podcast. Big fan.
All right, we're here with Cedarville President Dr. White.
Big hustle. That's what he did.
Yeah, I like it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Welcome to week 28 of the Infield Singles Podcast. Here you have me, Chase Gruitt, joined by Tad McKenna, Michael Connor, and our science expert for the week, Steve-O. Okay, like people care, but how's everyone doing, Michael?
Very good. Thank you, Chase.
How about you, Tad?
Very good. Thank you, Chase.
And our science expert, Steve.
Doing phenomenal. Couldn't be doing any better.
Great. I'm doing good, too. Thanks, Michael. And Steve, so there's this picture of a black hole. you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah,
are you Southern? Tell us a little bit about that.
Excuse the accent real quick. They released this new picture. Real exciting stuff, guys. The first ever black hole pictured, some 55 million light years away. We're not anywhere near it, but they have a collaboration of 200 telescopes all over the Earth. They got the first image of the black hole. Actually got two of them. A black hole's insane stuff. You're not going in there and getting back out, you know what I'm saying? You're going in there, you're going to have, a process is going to happen called spaghettification. You're going to get stretched out into nothing. There's also this theory that once you enter the black hole, you're going to be met by a ring of fire. Now, obviously, we're not going to know if that's going to be the case or not, but it's theorized by leading physicists and astrophysicists, scientists, whatever you want to call them. But that's all I got for the black hole, if you guys have any questions for me.
Should we be worried about this black hole?
We should all be slightly concerned, but like to the minimal degree. It's way out there, we're over here, we're probably fine. But they're huge, so they're like millions of times bigger than the sun. The sun's a big entity in the sky. It's massive.
So kind of like a healthy respect for this, for the black hole.
Yeah, a healthy respect is right, Tad. It's probably the safest bet to go.
Would you ever volunteer for science sake to jump in a black hole?
You put my name down the list, but, you know, hopefully I won't get called on that expedition, that quest.
You said spaghettification and stretching out. You want to delve into that a little more? What is it? What do you mean by that exactly?
Well, they say that when you go in the black hole, what's going to happen to your body? You're just going to get stretched out like a noodle. You just get stretched out until you're nothing. I mean, nobody's been in a black hole, so we don't have any video proof of this, but...
And where can people go to hear more about this black hole?
A lot of reputable news sources like Vox. They're pretty high up on there. Vice is also a good one. I'm on this newscast called, I don't know, but there's a lot of news sources out there you can look up this information on.
All right, thank you very much, Scientist yeah. Steve.
Highly driven.
Hey, so while we have you on, my mom mentioned to me last week that we kind of rag on Chase quite a bit, but Chase has a new hobby, and it's perfect timing that Steve-O happens to be here. Do you guys want to give us an insight on your new hobby, Chase?
Well, I've always enjoyed programming, and I'm just getting back into it. So, yeah, I guess that's my hobby.
Yeah, so Chase is now getting back into programming. So he, instead of sitting at his computer watching anime for however many hours a day, Chase has been typing in other languages, specifically C#. Is that right?
Yeah, C#.
Yeah. So we went to a live band performance tonight. Shout out Probation with former Infield Singles interviewees Kevin and Andy. While that's going on, I just lean over and Chase. I just look over and Chase is like writing out code on napkins, and it's like a true Goodwill Hunting moment. So what's it like to have a protege in the hall now, Steve-O?
Once you start programming, it just you just keep thinking about it. You solve one problem, you solve the next. It's like the end of the Martian movie when he's teaching the MIT class and says, "You just begin. You just solve one problem and keep going. That's like what programming is. Programming is so applicable. You can do so many things with it. It's you just all you're doing is solving problems, and that's an awesome thing.
So basically, Steve is saying that we are both the Martian, which I think is pretty cool.
Steve, are you at all concerned that this might be an Anakin and Obi-Wan relationship where eventually Chase is going to become so powerful he just tries to overtake you?
That might be the case, yeah.
And are you concerned about that at all?
Right now, I have the high ground.
What a great meme.
So how long until realistically Chase is like hacking into computer systems and whatnot?
Man, I don't know what kind of computer systems you hack into, you know what I mean? He's doing C#. C# has a lot of web, you know, you make a lot of websites with C# and like ASP.net and like stuff like that. So I mean, that's certainly along the lines of capability, if you'd say. I mean, I don't know.
You say Chase is a natural-born talent?
Oh, yeah, 100%. He's cranking out the algorithms pretty well, pretty quick. Quicker than I could work on them, so, I mean, that's good.
So, Steve, what language should I start learning next so I can hack into things?
So you can hack into things?
Yeah.
Man, if you want to hack, you got to go into some lower-level language, like a C, like a C language. That is a lot of capability. Python you could also get into. I mean, my language of choice is always be Swift. Swift is a fantastic language, best one out there. You use a lot of iOS applications, mobile applications, stuff like that. They're getting into server-side Swift, so you can do web-facing stuff too.
And while we have you here, Steve, there's another project of sorts you've been working on called Highly Driven. I'm going to explain that a little bit. You were mentioning earlier that you would love to just be able to share about this.
Highly Driven, basically, to summarize it, it just exists. It's a team of highly skilled, highly driven individuals. Unfortunately, Farquaad's not here to discuss the other side of it, but we have documentation outlining what Highly Driven is. One piece of the documentation is C.S. Lewis's Weight of Glory. That basically outlines the framework of what this whole operation is. And so you have to get highly skilled, godly individuals who want to seek after the Lord in all they do, are masters in their craft and want to use their craft to get to the ultimate vision or the end goal of what they want to do in life. And that's really what it's all about. You got to get that end thing in life, what you want to do, and you have to figure out, okay, how am I going to use what I'm good at? The Lord has gifted me to be able to do. How am I going to use that to get to the end goal? That's what it's all about. So this whole highly driven thing is, it's a very broad, encompassing thing. It just exists. So the first step is you have to get off the records. Man, you don't want those, that digital trail of all your whatever you're doing. So we got to get off the records. To do that, you got to get the CB radio. The CB radio is your ticket, is your key. 30 years down the road, you're going to send the signal. Once you send the signal out to the people in Highly Driven, they're going to get it, and they're just going to know instinctively. They're going to go to said location. They're going to meet up when you're going to get the task done. So if Farquaad is here, he could tell you more about this. But
wasn't this supposed to be a secret?
No, because it just exists. There's no secret about it. It's just it's way.
The technology hasn't been used since the 80s, so there's no way it'll be traced.
Yeah, the other problem with CB radio is because they're pretty short range, given around 50 to 100 miles. However, if you get the right solar conditions, you get a solar flare coming, you're going to get this skip. It's going to skip on the ionosphere to about 1,000 miles away. So that's what the conditions we have to wait for to be able to radio in from Florida to say...
It's time.
Ohio. Yeah, it's time. But it's yeah. So that's kind of the vision, right? The goal. But
thank you very much, Steve.
Yeah, if that made any sense.
Oh, it made absolute sense.
Basically, you just want to pursue the Lord and all and everything.
All right. So you're good to go, Steve. Go print off your graphic design.
All right. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming. Oh, the weather. It's been pretty good. Good thing it was windy today, because it would have just been so hot and awful.
What's the temperature been like?
Well, it got up to like 80 today, man. It's like the beach weather, not walk outside and survive weather.
How cold do you think we can get our room this semester? It was pretty cold a couple days ago.
We don't have any control of temperature anymore, so unless we, like, maybe not tonight, but if we want to try, like, I think the low is like 68 or something. So I don't think we can do it tonight. But like last night where we had like different pockets of the room that are like warm and cold. Can I not do this?
No.
So there's like pockets in our room, like cold and warm pockets. There's like a real warm pocket behind our door next to the thermostat.
So is that kind of like when you pee in the pool and you get a warm pocket?
Yeah, but like, doesn't, like, in the pool, it disperses. Like, in our room, like, the pockets stay because, like, there's wind coming in the
So, like, in your room, when you pee in the carpet, it just stays, so then it's a warm pocket.
Okay, yeah, I guess.
It doesn't disperse as well on the carpet.
Yeah, peeing in the carpet is much more of a better metaphor than peeing in the pool.
All right.
Doesn't everybody have a pee corner?
Where is our pee
corner? Rule number one.
Established. Pee corners and pocket dogs. You'll rule the world.
What is a pocket dog?
That is a hot dog with a bun. Yeah, that you keep in your pocket for a snack later. You can keep... Who doesn't like a hot dog and then just, like, keep it in your pocket?
What is Second Harvest?
Well, Second Harvest is digging through any type of poop to find food that you can eat.
Wait, wasn't Pocket Dogs It's Always Sunny?
No, Pocket Dogs is definitely the league. We do anything cool this week?
Went to JS.
Oh, JS. That was great. I thought it was going to suck, like my high school homecoming and... High school prom. No offense to Ellie at all. It wasn't her fault. But they were just really bad. Like, my high school prom, we had a 15 foot by 15 foot dance floor. So it was...
Do you realize how small that is?
No, yeah, it was tiny.
That's 5 steps by 5 steps.
We had 40 people packed, like, right next to each other.
All right, 15 by 15.
Maybe 20 by 20. I don't know. You say so. It was tiny. What?
If you say so.
All right, but this was a good experience.
Oh, yeah, JS was sweet. Having all the boys dancing.
At one point, Chase was just bouncing back and forth between 2 spots on the floor, like 2 foot bouncing side to side. He was going ham.
That's just how I dance. I like to bounce.
What was the highlight of the night for you, Chase?
Highlight of the night? I don't know. Singing along and dancing along to Taylor Swift's 22 is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
That might have been the highlight of the night.
I think seeing Spencer getting carried to Don't Stop Believing.
Okay, that was pretty good, too. Yeah.
He had his eyes closed. And he was just singing at the top of his lungs, and I felt like we had seen Spencer peak. We were watching him peak before our very eyes.
At one point, one of the vice presidents of the university asked Zach, Michael, and I to hoist another one of the vice presidents of the university onto our shoulders. So that was a fun time when we carried him around for a little bit.
My neck still hurts.
I'm trying to think what else happened this week.
Easter's coming up.
Yeah.
It's Easter! Yes!
Sweet.
Hey. Is it not, like, in retrospect, like, it is the most important, it is, like, the holiday that represents the most important point in human history, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, President's Day?
I don't think anyone here is bashing Easter.
I'm just saying. People should get more excited for Easter.
All right, Chase, how are you celebrating Easter this year?
I will be spending time with my family because it's, and going to church and stuff like that, honoring the Lord.
Are you doing any Easter egg hunting?
I don't think so. I'm not sure, though. The youngest person in my family is 17, so...
So when Morgan and Devin have a kid, do you think you'll be the Easter bunny for them?
Definitely not. Can't let them know. Easter's way too important for the Easter bunny's a sham, man. We should not have the Easter bunny.
So you're not going to hide eggs for their little kid?
We can do an Easter egg hunt. We just don't have to have the Easter egg bunny.
Why is the Easter bunny a sham?
I don't know. I feel like it's too important of a holiday to have it, to have like the Easter.
What about Santa Claus?
Yeah, if we didn't have Christmas, Jesus wouldn't have come, and if Jesus wouldn't have come, he couldn't have died. So couldn't you argue that Christmas is more important?
I disagree.
Explain to me why I'm wrong.
Because The resurrection is what saved us, not him being born.
But it had to be a perfect person. So if we didn't have a perfect person to exist, there couldn't have been a resurrection. You have to have one to have the other.
What came first, the resurrection or the birth? It's classic.
Chicken or the egg. I think we know which one came first.
Well, there we go.
Whatever.
Good theological banter here on the Infield Singles podcast.
But that's what we've been missing all the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, never had that
Quit
before.
Quit playing with the mics.
I'm sorry.
Speaking of theological banters, a bit of a teaser for next week's episode. Michael, do you want to explain to us who we've got? Well, this week we've got esteemed Cedarville graduate journalist Josh Burris, so that'll be a good interview. But next week,
yeah, we're having, we'll just call it what it is. We got a Presbyterian minister from New Orleans coming on the podcast next week. What could be more exciting than that? He golfs. He's from Ole Miss, so sco Rebs. I mean, the folks at home should be getting really excited for next week. That's all I got to say. We're going to make a new friend.
It's going to be a treat.
Your LinkedIn is a beautiful tool. LinkedIn is what brings the people together. All right, now let's send it on over to our interview with Joshua Burris.
Here we go. Welcome to the NCAA tournament.
Everyone in this tournament is a champion. Now we have to find out where we stand.
Four foot right together. Ah!
The ball is tipped. And there you are. You're running for your life. You're a shooting star.
Welcome back to the Infield Singles. This week, like we said, we have on former Cedarville student Josh Burris. Josh is currently official member of the media. He works as a newspaper writer in Indiana. So we're excited to have Josh on and hear his thoughts on some things. So before we start off here, Josh, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Oh, we're doing great. It's a pleasure to have you on. So obviously, like we said, you were a Cedarville student. How would you describe your time here at Cedarville?
It was a great experience. I enjoyed definitely all three of my years. I actually graduated a year early because I did some dual enrollment classes in high school. So I knocked out a year out of the way. So graduated in 3 years, class of 2017. And it was fun. I enjoyed it. Great professors, great classes, great people there. That's what I enjoyed the most about it was the friends I made.
Yeah. So now that you are, postgraduate life, how would you say life compares now to life in college?
I'm definitely working a lot, and it's since I'm also in another state, having to get to know a new area. It's kind of lonely at times. Not gonna lie.
Yeah.
But also, I'm learning how to do adult stuff. Take care of apartment, pay bills, also meeting new people. It's definitely takes a lot more effort. You got to go way more out of your way to meet people and make friends when you're not surrounded by 4,000 kids that are your age, like in school.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was an adjustment at first, but I mean, I've been on my own about 10 months now, and it's been fun.
Yeah, that's some good advice for us to hear. So I guess we'll just jump right into it. We just finished up March Madness. We know you're a big college basketball guy.
Oh yeah.
What were your thoughts on the tournament as a whole?
Thoughts on the tournament as a whole was just, it's March Madness. It's called March Madness for a reason, as you guys know. And one thing that I did enjoy about this year's tournament was, just the amount of new teams that reached the Final Four. I mean, I believe Auburn, that was their first appearance. Texas Tech, I don't remember them, but if that was their first, but they're relatively new to, being good at basketball. You got Virginia, who had one of the greatest redemption stories, I'd argue, in sports. I mean, going from losing to a 16 seed the year before to coming back and winning the first tournament in school history. Michigan State's a vet that a lot of people expected to be there, but, those four schools, I didn't check to see if anybody picked that Final Four, but I mean it's a lot of mostly new schools, and it was a lot of fun to watch.
Which of those four teams in the Final Four would you say surprised you the most?
Uh, Well, if we're going by the way that I picked my bracket, I picked Michigan State to be in the Final Four. I picked Virginia to be in the Elite Eight, and I thought that was a little too far for them. But with the teams they were playing, I thought it should be manageable. Auburn I picked to be, I believe, out in the Sweet 16. I'd say Auburn was probably the more surprising team. I thought Texas Tech would be in the Elite Eight team because of how good a defense they play. But, I mean, Auburn, they had to beat a lot of good teams to get to where they were. So I'd say that was most surprising. And they had to do it without Okiki, who was their best player.
Yeah, you definitely, like, I guess when I think of basketball schools, Texas Tech and Auburn are definitely not at the top of my list. But it's kind of cool to see those types of schools doing well. It's kind of like seeing, like, Duke do well in football or schools like that that aren't usually, you know, good football programs but sometimes have a good year.
Right, yeah, similar to that.
So, obviously, after the March Madness every year, we start to see different players making decisions on whether they want to go pro or whether they want to come back. So I know we saw the Duke player decide to go pro.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on one and dones? And, like, do you think that players should be able to just go straight from high school to the NBA, or do you like how they have to wait a year?
I think college is good for most of those kids. I don't think – I mean, you've got come around exceptions to the rule. Guys like LeBron James that probably could have been an NBA draft pick and superstar when they were still in high school, which is why he was able to come out right away and make an impact. I think Zion Williamson could be a kid like that too. But for the most part, I think college, I mean, that's what it's there for. It's to help develop kids, develop their basketball skills, help them learn how to play at the next level. So, I mean, I don't want to say that, I don't want to rule anybody out, you know, from being able to come out of high school, because I think some kids can. But I think the reason that they ended up stopping that was just because of the amount of kids that were going from high school. Like, it was starting to get bigger and bigger, and a lot of them were more so failing than succeeding. So, I'd say let them come out of high school if I was to give you a decision on that. One and done, I mean, it is what it is. I think most of those one and done kids probably would make the jump from high school. Like, I think RJ Barrett and Zion could have made the jump from high school. But there's other kids, you know, like Kobe White, my favorite team, North Carolina Tar Heels, Nasir Little. I think they benefited from their 1 year of college. So I think it's different for a lot of different players.
Yeah, so a lot of people's argument for why players should be able to go straight from high school is because they don't, like, want to get injured because they can make, like, millions of dollars, and if they get injured, then they're kind of, like, they're down the drain goes all that money they could have been making, like, the next year. So some people say, I think Mark Cuban said it, like, you can go to Europe and play and develop there for a year and then come back. What are your thoughts on doing that as opposed to going to college?
Well, we haven't seen too many guys do that. I believe Emmanuel Mudiay and Brandon Jennings have been some of the bigger names to go and do that off the top of my head. And you see the NBA careers they got. So, I mean, we don't know what could have happened if they went to college. But I think Europe helps you. I mean, look at guys like Luka Doncic coming over. He was already over in Europe already. But that the program over there, the teams that they got, helped him become the player that he is now. And I guess you could, I mean, look at guys like LaMelo Ball, who played high school ball here, went over to Lithuania and played a little bit of Euro ball over there. And he's coming back to prep school in Ohio, and he looks a little bit better. So, I mean, going to Europe, I mean, if it really is all about the money, if you have to go and make, I don't know how much money they make. It can't be that as much as compared to the NBA. But if it's that super important, instead of going to a top program like Duke, where you can get literally everything for free, be under Coach K, and be playing in front of a bunch of people and against, in my opinion, better talent. I mean, that's up to you. So I'd say go the college route. Injuries can happen. It's not like you're going into sports and you don't know that injury's going to come. It's not a shock. No, that's a risk that you take. So I think, you know, when we talk about money and kids risking it all and stuff, you know, I think that's just a kind of a sense of entitlement that they got, that they are entitled to make all these millions of dollars when, honestly, they got to go out and prove that they can do it.
Yeah, that was a good point you brought up about the coaches, because, you know, going into college for play for Coach K or some of those other, you know, Tom Izzo, some of the great coaches, that definitely probably leaves an impact on them for a long time. Do you think, how much impact do you think those coaches have on the outcome of like the season? Like if you take the Duke team from this year and say put them on a different team with a different coach at a different school, do you think like Zion is still Zion? Do you think that Duke goes just as far as they did this year, or do you think that it has a different outcome because they didn't have Coach K?
You know, I didn't pick Duke to go to the Final Four, and the reason I did that was because most of the time, the schools that are making the national tournament, you know, being the runner-up and being the title, are mostly veteran-led. The freshmen that they come in, you know, they just don't know exactly what it takes yet to go and play, you know, all those kind of games with that high intensity. So I think if you took the guys off of Duke and put them somewhere else other than Coach K, you know, they might get a similar result, you know. But I think guys like maybe Zion, though, might benefit more because Coach K didn't really run any plays for him, and he also took, like, the third most shots over at Duke. So I think it might have helped a couple of the players, you know, from being in a different system maybe that was had plays designed for them instead of just kind of going with the flow and letting whoever had the hot hand go. But I think the team result probably would have ended up being the same.
Do you think Zion is going to be a bust in the NBA, or do you think he is actually like the next LeBron James?
I'll tell you what, I've been following basketball since LeBron's rookie season. And I know that, you mean, social media has kind of gotten larger, you know, as we've gotten older and as time has gone on. But there's been nobody hyped up as Zion Williamson. I think he might even be more hyped up than LeBron. And do I think he will be a LeBron James-type player? I think he's going to be a superstar. I don't know you can be LeBron. I mean, that's quite a claim to make. It was like people saying, you know, LeBron's going to be Michael Jordan in high school. Living up to the greatest of all time isn't easy. No, I mean, that doesn't happen too often. So I'm not going to go that far. You know, I'm seeing guys on TV saying, you know, oh, Zion's a top 20 player right now. Zion's a top 30 player right now. I don't even think he's there yet. But, I mean, Zion in 5 years is going to be scary, let me tell you.
I guess transitioning from, you know, college basketball, it's baseball season now. We got NHL playoffs going on. The Masters start right now. So it's a big time for sports in general. I know you follow baseball as well. What are you most looking forward to, or what are some of your like must watch, you know, players or events or matchups this baseball season?
I'm looking forward to, I'm an Indians fan, so I'm looking forward to first seeing how the team does this season. I'm expecting another AL Central title just because there's not too much competition there. But I'm not expecting to advance anywhere in the playoffs. You know, these last two seasons they've lost in the ALDS, you know, the first round, and it's because they're not playing the competition they need to in the regular season. You can look at the record within the division and out of the division and see the discrepancy there. So outside of Cleveland, though, I mean, I think it's been pretty sweet watching Bryce Harper in Philly. He had a pretty big game against the Nationals, then his return over there. That was pretty sweet to watch if you weren't a Nationals fan. A few others that I'm looking forward to is Boston Red Sox, actually. Just that they've had a rough start. Guys like Chris Sale haven't been playing like we know they can. But, I mean, that's part of April, too. They're going to bounce back, I think, and eventually get back to the way they can play. And then maybe the Dodgers, too, who were in the World Series last year. I mean, they're kind of in a spot where they've been in win now the last few years. And if it's not this season, then, I mean, when's it going to be? You know, they're paying a lot of money. So there's guys switching, you know, new faces in new places. Will Manny Machado live up to the contract? Will Bryce Harper live up to the contract? We'll find out, but definitely something that's going to be interesting and worth keeping an eye on.
Well, there's been a lot of talk about how baseball is kind of dying, I guess, for lack of a better term, because of almost how slow or boring it's gotten. So what is one move you think the MLB could make to essentially save baseball and kind of help it regain some of its popularity?
Honestly, I mean, I guess you could call me a baseball purist. I think a lot of the changes that Rob Manfred is suggesting and trying to make are kind of ridiculous and not what baseball's all about. One thing that I've always loved about baseball, you know, is that there's not a time limit on it. You know, you got to give the other team their chance to, you know, get their runs. And there's, I mean, you can't kill the clock like you can in the NFL and the NBA, those sports. So I think, you know, what Manfred and what MLB can do to try to save baseball is just let it be. I think, you know, I mean, we're seeing more home runs, but we're also seeing more strikeouts. It's not the same game as we saw, as a, like, even you and me saw growing up. It's not as exciting. You know, there's not guys like Ichiro getting hits. There's not, you know, the extra base hits. It's guys swinging up, you know, trying to get a home run, and they're kind of looking at a strikeout, you know, just another out, another ground out. But it's just kind of a more boring form of baseball, in my opinion, even though there are more home runs, which you think people would like to see. So I would say just baseball needs to just stay the way it is, to be honest.
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of games this year so far, and it's like you see a lot of replays, obviously, now that replays are a part of the game. And there's a lot of times where, you know, maybe on a check swing or something, the third base or first base umpire will call it like not a swing, and then you watch the replay and it is a swing and people will get upset. But, you know, that's just part of baseball. It's like, to me, you have your replays in football and everything, and that's kind of part of the game and using your challenges. But like you said, we grew up with baseball with, like, it's just up to the umpires. And so nowadays, when you have all these replays and stuff, it's kind of taking away some of the charm, I think, of baseball, where it's like you kind of got to live with it. And like the strike zones are, it's always changing, you know, from one ump to the next. So do you think that going to like automatic umpires and like stuff like that would be a good thing to have, or is that, would that ruin it further?
First off, I'd just like to point out, I think that the MLB umpires are the best officials in pro sports, period. I think that, I mean, the NFL and the NBA, they got far away and stuff happens so fast, they miss a lot of stuff naturally. But I'd like to commend MLB umpires. I think they're the best officials. That being said, add more replay. I mean, you can look at basketball and football. You know, people are saying, we need more replay, we need more replay. Officials are messing up these calls. And we're starting to get that now. And, I mean, just looking at the NCAA tournament, you know, all the angry fans about that review of, I think it was the Texas Tech loose ball that they ended up calling Virginia's way after they had the replay. You know, when you say the NFL now, you know, replays on calls and no calls for pass interference. It's just slowing the game down. It's making people get angry when they do have the call switched. So, I mean, it's back to MLB charm. You know, I mean, part of sports is there's going to be human error. And I think the MLB umpires already do a good enough job as it is. So I'd say, you know, automatic umpires, I'm not a fan of that idea. And no more additional replay. Let's just keep it the way it is. Keep baseball the way it's been, because that's what's made it successful.
All right, we're about 10 to 15 games into this season. Who's your way too early picks for the World Series? Like, what's the matchup you think will happen based on the very small sample size to this point?
You know, I like what I'm seeing from the Phillies so far. I'm liking what I'm seeing from the Braves so far. And they're looking impressive so far. It's still too early to tell, but I mean, I believe my preseason prediction was the Dodgers again, and that they would be facing my American League pick escapes me right now. But if I had to choose some American League right now, I mean, I like what the Mariners are doing right now. They're looking hot. I don't know if they're going to be able to maintain their start, though. You know, baseball is a game of, you know, momentum, you know, streaks. You can be hot, you can be cold. Cleveland's even looking pretty good right now to start, which is something they usually don't do in April. But if I had to make a World Series pick, I may go, this isn't based on the results of the season so far, but if I had to pick one right now, I'd probably go Yankees Dodgers.
Yeah. As a Cardinals fan, I've been watching the Cardinals Dodgers, and they just swept them, which was surprising to me because the Dodgers, you know, started off really, really well, but, I guess they just kind of ran into some troubles down in St. Louis. But, you know, the Dodgers are definitely looking pretty good. I guess same question, but for NBA, since now we are in the playoffs, what are your thoughts on the NBA playoffs, and who do you think is going to come out on top?
We know that the Golden State Warriors are going to be in the finals. If you're an NBA fan of any kind, you know the Golden State is going to be there. So I'm not giving too many other teams a chance in the West. Over in the Eastern Conference, I mean, I know Milwaukee's the top seed, but I'm just not convinced on them, to be honest. I think it seems like, I know Boston didn't have the best season this season, but they got a lot of star power and experience over there. Philadelphia's got a lot of star power over there. Toronto, I know they haven't been the best, but they made a couple of roster changes, so it's not exactly the same team that it's been these last few years when they've been losing to LeBron and the Cavs. If I had to go Eastern Conference pick right now, though, I may go with Boston right now. That's going to shock a lot of people, I know. But Boston at the 4th seed against Golden State in the West, and I'm going to go with obviously Golden State winning it all again.
How long do you think the Golden State dynasty will be around? Do you think it'll break up in a few years, or do you think that those players are going to, you know, commit to staying with each other for a while?
You know, there's all this talk, you know, about how Kevin Durant wants to play for the Knicks. Kevin Durant may team up with LeBron with the Lakers. And I mean, I just don't see that happening. You know, they got a good thing going right now. They've had a couple, you know, dramatic spurts, you know, like when Draymond Green and Kevin Durant got bickering a little bit. But, you know, I think they enjoy it. I think they enjoy winning. You know, I wouldn't want to leave that. But at the same time, you know, we were like, oh, Kevin Durant ain't going to leave OKC. He would never go to the Warriors, and then he did it. So if Kevin Durant left, I mean, it wouldn't shock me, but I right now highly doubt that. I think they're going to keep sticking around and keep winning, you know, eventually until they get old. They can't do it anymore. That'd be my prediction.
Yeah, you would think that when you're on a team like that and you just win every year that you would, you know, money doesn't matter. You want to keep getting championships, but I guess, you know, time has shown that people's egos sometimes get the best of them, and then they go to another place and they don't do so hot. So it'll be interesting, definitely, to see what happens with that.
Yeah. If anybody was to leave Golden State, I'd say it'd be Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. You know, those are guys that kind of were founding members of Golden State in the beginning. But, you know, you bring in Kevin Durant, you bring in DeMarcus Cousins, and now they're not exactly top options now. So if anybody was to leave the Golden State dynasty, I'd say it'd be Klay and Draymond. But I mean, Boogie Cousins is probably going to leave too, but he's never really been a part of it. They've never really needed him to. But I'd say Kevin Durant and Steph Curry would stay. And if anybody was to leave, which I don't think they will, it'd be Klay and Draymond first before Kevin Durant.
Yeah, that definitely seems like the way it could go with Klay leaving and whatnot. Do you like the way the NBA has been trending lately with, you know, a lot of three balls and a lot of players, you know, kind of taking over like James Harden?
This kind of is about what I was talking about baseball, or, you know, a more efficient game, possibly, you know, everybody's going for the home run, and if they strike out, it's not a big deal. And in the NBA, they're like, threes great, too, so we're just going to keep shooting threes. And they're scoring more points as a result. I don't necessarily think, you know, it's teams that aren't just playing good defense anymore. I think a little bit also has to do with the fact that the NBA is just stacked right now. I mean, me and a buddy were going through, like, who we would pick for first team, second team, third team. I mean, with the amount of talent and all-stars you got in the league right now, you could probably go six teams, like six all-NBA teams, and there'd still be some star players getting left off. So right now, I mean, I think the NBA is at an all-time high for superstar talent right now. Guys are shooting better than ever. It's going good right now for the NBA. The only thing that could hurt them, I mean, super teams, but I mean, until they get rid of the max contract rule, I think you're still going to be getting those super teams coming around. But I love the NBA, the style right now, where it's at, and how it's been.
Do you prefer NBA or NCAA basketball?
I prefer NBA basketball, but I love watching college football a little more than NFL, actually.
What makes you like NBA better than college?
College basketball to me has probably been one of the sports that, I mean, I follow it a decent amount, but it's probably the sport that I follow the least out of, like, the MLB, NFL, NBA, college football, college basketball. Like, those are the five that I mainly follow. And college basketball is probably the lowest one just because of the way that it's structured, you know, with the tournament. I mean, you can lose 12 games in the regular season and still be in the tournament. So I don't think the regular season is as meaningful as, you know, the other regular seasons in those other leagues. I follow college basketball in the regular season mostly just to watch some of the NBA prospects. That's something I love keeping track of is the NBA draft and the prospects that are kind of just watching them play and kind of getting the next start of what they might be able to do in the future.
And you said you like college football better than the NFL?
I do, yes. And the reason for that is mostly because of like the pace of play. I think that it's a much faster game. And also since they're not getting paid, you know, there's a little bit more heart in there. than the NFL. You don't have like these contract disputes or these coming out and complaining about contracts. You know, these guys are all out to win it. But yeah, I've always been a college football fan.
So what are your thoughts on going into a college football playoff, an expanded playoff, you know, like maybe 16 teams?
I'd say if you're going to 16 teams, I mean, that's a lot of games to add on, you know. Right now we're at a 12-game regular season right now. You added the conference championship in for a 13th. And then a few more playoff games, and we're going into maybe February. So it's going to be a long college football season. And also, I don't think adding teams is necessarily going to make it better. You know, in the NCAA tournament, upsets happen. You know, a 12 will be the 5. But in college football playoffs, you know, I mean, look at the discrepancy between, you know, number one teams and number four teams. Watch Clemson and Alabama. Well, Clemson embarrassed their first-round opponent, Notre Dame. And then they embarrassed Alabama in the championship game. And in the playoffs, I mean, I just don't think adding anybody else would be extra or would add to it. I think they would just get bounced early and it'd be a waste of time.
So you kind of just think that, like, the teams that get snubbed, they just kind of have to deal with it, and that's just, you know, part of the process?
Yeah, you know, there's about six teams, you know, that I thought legit had a shot last year. You know, it was, I'm blanking right now, but Ohio State and, was it Georgia that was left out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they both had, I mean, their reasons for being left out. If they were to extend the playoff, you know, I'd say maybe those six teams, you give the top two seeds a bye. But anything after that, you know, I mean, you start getting into, like, three loss, and you start debating, you know, well, Georgia's mediocrity is better than Ohio State's mediocrity. You know, they may have lost two games, but it was in the SEC, you know, the toughest college football. And you got Ohio State. I mean, they got the potential to beat anybody. They also got the potential to lose to anybody. And I don't know about you, but watching Clemson, I never doubted that they were going to lose too many games against anybody. So I just think, you know, adding teams, you know, I don't think that they, especially teams that don't really have a shot at it, you know, like a number 16, I think it'd just be a waste of time. And if they were expanded just to 6 and only 6.
What are your thoughts on a 64-team playoff?
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to be playing football all year round, man.
All right, well, how about this? You cut the regular season down to 10 games, guarantee every team 12. That way they can, like, make their money through ticket sales and all that stuff. But you have all the bowls throughout the tournament, or like all the games throughout the tournament, be the different bowls. So what do you think is going to bring in more viewers? Mid-Tennessee State versus Mid-Tennessee State versus Duke in like some no-name bowl, or do you think more people would want to tune in and watch Mid-Tennessee State try and upset Alabama? Something like that. Brings in more viewers. You got 10-game regular season. Every team's guaranteed 2, so you can have little, like, mini bowls at the end or whatever. So champion plays 16 games. That's preparing them for an NFL. Like, that's what they play in the NFL, so no issue there.
I mean, that's an interesting point right there you bring up about views, you know, who would maybe watch Duke versus Mid-Tennessee State or maybe Mid-Tennessee State versus Alabama. And I'd say probably nobody would watch Mid-Tennessee State versus Alabama. I believe it was I believe Nick Saban brought up something about, you know, they were playing one of those FCS schools, you know, they just throw on their schedule to blow out 60-0, and their student section was nearly empty. There weren't that many people in the crowd. And he's like, I don't understand why people aren't coming. You know, our students are terrible, not supporting. And it's because, you know, nobody wants to go and watch a 60-0 blowout win, you know. Nobody wants to pay to go watch that. So I'd say, you know, a more competitive game would be Duke versus Mid-Tennessee State, the bowl system, or the bowl games they really got set up right now.
But you, so think, you think my more argument people against. Would go, you think more people would be willing to watch, like, the two
I would rather watch Duke versus Mid-Tennessee State, and that'd be the reason for it, is because it'd be a much more competitive game.
All right. I'm rolling with 64. I'm taking that to the grave.
All right, man. I mean, we'll see what happens, but I'm down for just 6 playoff or 14 playoff it is right now. If they want to expand, just go to 6.
Yeah. Maybe every now and then there'd be an Appalachian State that could knock off a Michigan, you know?
There could be, you know, but I mean, something like that's super rare. It doesn't happen often enough to make it, you know, a 64 team playoff.
Yeah, that's fair. And then, you know, it took however many years for a 16 to finally beat a 1 in basketball. So, you know, there's some things that may happen once or twice, but, you know, are anomalies for the whole and are never going to happen, you know.
Right.
All right, so I guess before we finish here, I know you told us beforehand you're not a big golf fan or anything, but real quick, Masters just finished the first round today. What's your, I guess, unprofessional predictions or unexperienced predictions going in? Because they're probably just as good as any of the other hot air breathers on TV or anything.
Man, well, first, let me start off by naming all the golfers I know, which would be Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Rory, McIlroy, you know, Ricky. I don't remember Ricky's last name. It escapes me right now.
He just goes by the first name. He's one of those kind of athletes.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, those are the only four golfers I know. So tell me, are they all in the Masters this year?
They are, and actually Tiger Woods is pretty close to the lead, so you're not too far off, actually.
All right. Well, from a non-professional opinion, you know, I think everybody would love to watch Tiger win. You know, Tiger just drives up ratings. People are like, well, is Tiger going to win today? And then even if he does bad, you know, people watch because it's Tiger. So... Right. I'll just, you know, for the sake of not knowing anything about golf, I'll say let's predict Tiger, you know. Let's see a big upset. Let's see a big surprise and something that everybody would love to see.
There we go. We like it. All right, Josh, thank you for joining us today. Everyone make sure to go check out the Bluffton News banner and go buy a subscription or however you can support Josh in that way. So, Josh, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, thank you. We'll talk to you later.
All right.
Special thanks again to Josh Burris for coming on this week's show. It was a great interview and we really appreciated it. Tune in next week to hear us interview our new Presbyterian minister from New Orleans friend. That'll be a real good one. Remember to follow us on Twitter at Infield Singles. Subscribe to us on YouTube and also subscribe to us on Google Podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, anywhere else you listen to podcasts. We're there. Also, RIP to the Black Tux, no longer a sponsor. Thanks for the $10. And as always, remember to tee it high and let it fly.
Deuces.
Jumping like a tip off. I play hard till I hit a rep, blow the whistle. I'm a player, but my game be so official. Never reach, gotta stay out of foul trouble. But I drive in the lane, get them in foul trouble. They can't solve my game, I'm a hard puzzle. But I keep three dimes, that's a triple double. Where we lay, they do the dance. Next to the left, throw some money.